Today, I want to talk a little bit about living in a victory. I really think it's an important topic to discuss because many people in our world live as victims instead of being victorious and walking with Jesus. And I really think it's important to understand what it means to walk with Jesus. And we're going to learn how to do that today out of a passage in Mark chapter 2. And it's a story where Jesus actually healed a man. The man got up and he began to walk through numerous onlookers. And they were amazed at what had happened in his life. And I want to propose this question. When you walk through life, are people amazed at what has happened in your life? Are you walking in victory when the rest of the world is being a victim? A victim of, you know, this or a victim of that? And at some point in time, we have all, you know, had things happen in our life, continue to have things happen in our life. But the Bible declares that despite what happens in this earth physically, that we can walk in great victory because of who we know and who we belong to, and his name is Jesus. And we're going to learn that today, how to do that in a powerful, powerful way. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open it up to Mark chapter 2. Jesus was in his earthly ministry here. He had just healed people of sickness. He had just cast out some demons in a demon-possessed person. He has just recently healed a man of a skin disease, leprosy. And now he steps into a situation where some people bring a man to him, and he declares something in this passage that he had never declared before. Because, you know, Jesus is much more than a miracle worker. Oftentimes, Jesus works miracles in order to share the message of who he is. And Jesus had worked miracles in people's life, but in this particular story where we find this encounter that Jesus has with this particular man, he unveils something, or let's call it, he reveals something about himself that it had yet to be revealed. And we're going to find it in Mark chapter 2. Let's look at the story. The Bible says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later after this healing expedition, the news spread quickly that he was back home. People were excited, but this great healer was back in town. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside of the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. And then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, the men carrying the mat, and eventually the man on the mat's faith, the Bible says, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, that's a significant word, my child, again, he's speaking as if he has some sort of authority over this man's life. He says, my child, your sins are forgiven. Now, Jesus had never declared to the people before as he was walking around healing people that their sins were forgiven. Now Jesus reveals something a little bit more about who he is, and he's not only revealing it to the man that he's speaking to or the men who are carrying the mat, Jesus is revealing it to the entire crowd that come to hear what he had to say. In other words, Jesus had drew in these people by working miracles, but now the platform was set for him to truly share the message of who he really was. And he says, I have come to basically forgive sin, to forgive the sin that entered the world through the first man and the first woman that has plagued humanity throughout the ages. I've come to forgive that. I've come to restore people. I've come to renew people. And he says, my child, your sins are forgiven. In other words, I'm getting ready to change your destiny. I'm getting ready to change your direction. I'm getting ready to renew your mind and elevate you back to your great purpose. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 6, but some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. See the revelation there? Other words, what Jesus is revealing is, I am God. Because these people in the crowd, these religious scholars, they knew that God could forgive sin. But you know what? God had provided a system through certain sacrifices for sin for humanity to be forgiven. And now Jesus shows up on the scene and he basically says, I'm the person, I'm the system, I'm the Savior. And the system that God gave isn't what forgives sin, I am. And these people are like, whoa, this is something we've never experienced before. A person is claiming to be God. See, Jesus right here is claiming to be God in the flesh. Jesus is claiming that, you know what, I have the authority to forgive sin. I'm the one who can step in and do something and change people's life. The Bible goes on to say this, Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier, he asked a question, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I'll prove, Jesus says, to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. In other words, you think it's only God in the heaven, but now I'm God in the flesh, and I have the authority right here in the flesh to forgive people of their sin, because I'm the same God in the flesh that exists in the heavens. And he says, he goes on to say this, then Jesus, he turned to the paralyzed man and he said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up. He grabbed his mat. He walked through the stunned onlookers, and they were amazed, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have never seen anything like this before. And they're not referring to the healing of the man. They're referring to the claim Jesus made. It's a big difference, because they had seen this miracle worker heal people. And they said, we've never seen anything like this before. Anybody making this claim that they are God and they have the authority to forgive people of their sin, and they prove it through working a physical miracle, and this guy gets up and obeys what he says to do. In other words, this man walked out of the room to prove that Jesus had the authority to forgive sins and renew life. That's what this passage is all about, is Jesus being an authority. And so I've got to ask you the question today. Are you walking in the fullness of who God says you are? And if not, is Jesus the authority over your life? Because if Jesus isn't the authority over your life, then chances are you'll never stand up, pick up your mat, as it says in this passage, and walk towards your God-given destiny. So today we're going to learn how to walk in victory. How to give Jesus authority over my sin. We're gonna learn how that happens. And I believe that this passage really lays it out in a great, great way. And the first thing I wrote down, if I'm gonna walk in victory, I have to realize this, that a faith community can help me walk in victory. I said a key word there. A faith community can help me walk in victory. Because that's what a faith community is all about. It's a group of people who understand the authority that Jesus has, and we help each other, we encourage each other in our faith to step towards him so he can renew or restore people's life. So a faith community's responsibility isn't to fix all the problems in the world. See, some of us thought that a church is to fix every problem in the world. No. The church is here as a representation of who God is in the earth. We're an extension of who God is and who Jesus is to announce that, you know what, who has authority over our life and over the sin that plagues humanity. His name is Jesus, and we're here to announce that authority. We're here to help people get to the feet of Jesus. And so many people mistake this. They don't realize the importance of a faith community. What can a faith community do? A faith community can realign me. A faith community can remind me of who God really is. And a faith community can reflect the God of the universe working together in a community. But a faith community, a church, isn't the savior. And this is what we got to get in our hearts today, is the responsibility of a church. The responsibility of a church is to help people get to the one who can ultimately solve their problem. Where the church oftentimes exists of codependent people. In other words, they just want people to depend on them and not help get the person to the one who can really solve their issues. In other words, the church oftentimes steps in and says, we can fix this. And the church's responsibility is to help with some things, but the church's responsibility is to help people get to the one who can ultimately fix the problem that all humans have. And all humans have the same problem. We entered into a world that was filled with sin. So we ultimately do sinful things. And the only one who can restore the relationship that we so desperately need with God is the one who came and announced right here in this passage that I have the authority here on earth to forgive sin. And so these guys, you know what, they bring their friend physically to Jesus to have him to healed of this physical disease. But the passage is really helping us realize something, that a faith community can only cure a person so far. Did you know that? And so many people are like, well, the church didn't fix my problem. So you know what? I'm just gonna walk away from God. I need to declare today that the church's responsibility isn't to fix all the problems. Though we're here to help, because that is our responsibility, is to help people get to the one who can ultimately heal their heart and restore their soul. But the church's responsibility isn't to fix every problem that comes along. We strive to do that, but how oftentimes does people get upset whenever, you know what, the church doesn't fix their problem? A true faith community steps in and does what it can. That's what these guys do. They pick up the mat. And they carry their friend because they cared about their friend. And they ultimately knew that they couldn't do anything ultimately for their friend. They had to get him to the source that could really solve the issue. And his name was Jesus. And the question is, does the church really believe that? Does the church really believe that Jesus has the authority, and he's the only one with authority to forgive people of their sin and restore their soul? A faith community can remind people of who God is. A faith community can reflect who God is by helping get people to the feet of Jesus. A faith people can begin to help realign people by challenging people in what God's word says. But at the end of the day, a faith community can only get us so far in the victory. And I really do believe that everyone needs a faith community, a group of people that believe that God sees more in them than they see in themselves. A group of people that believe that, you know what, though somebody may be on the mat in a certain desperate situation, that there is still hope for that person. a group of people that says, you know what, we're gonna believe with you and we're gonna trust with you and we're gonna do all we can and have faith that God can heal you and do amazing things in your life. But understand that this story isn't just about a physical healing. This story is about restoring this man's soul. This story is about the authority that Jesus had here in earth. And the people around listening to Jesus do this and do this amazing miracle, they are astonished and they're saying basically that Jesus is committing blasphemy because he's saying that he has the responsibility and the authority to forgive people of their sins. And they're thinking, man, what is this guy saying? Because they had misinterpreted what a faith community is all about. A faith community wasn't just about performing and doing a systematic approach to God. A faith community was to help each other and build each other up in such a way that every person could see that they know that they have a need for God in their life. So the faith community is a great, great tool to help us live in a victory. If the faith community keeps the right perspective and we keep the right perspective of what a faith community is all about. In other words, the church isn't Jesus. The church is a partner with Jesus. But only Jesus can restore your soul. The next thing about walking in victory is I wrote this down, is every person, including me, has a personal decision that has to be made. In other words, my grandmother did all she could to live out her faith in who God is and who Jesus is and what he had done in her life. And I can lean into her faith and learn some things about God from her faith, but her faith, my grandmother's faith, wasn't the decision that I had to make. Many people, you know what, they depend on somebody else's faith to get them right with God. And these guys' faith could get this man to the feet of Jesus, but ultimately he had to put faith in who Jesus said he was. Jesus said, my child, your sins are forgiven. I have the authority here on earth to forgive sin. And ultimately this man had to put his faith and believe that, and the other people's faith couldn't do anything for it. So everybody has a personal decision to make. You can't put faith in God. You can help partner your faith with people, but you can't put faith in God for somebody else, and somebody else can't put faith in God for you. You have your own personal decision to make. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, come to understand who God is and put your faith in God. It's a personal relationship with God, and you have to decide, is Jesus really who he says he is? Is he God in the flesh? I can't decide that for you. You can get around faith. You can study about Jesus. You can, you know, you can pray. You can try to understand. You can do all that. But ultimately, you have to take the information and the experience of life and ultimately put your faith in this Jesus is the true Son of God. This Jesus truly has authority in my life. Every person has to make that personal decision. You have to decide. This is why it's so important for the church to get the good news, come on somebody, of who Jesus is out to the world. We're sharing who Jesus really is. He's the Son of the living God. He's the one that came from heaven to earth. He's the one that put on flesh, gave his life on a cross. So humanity no longer has to live in bondage to the sin problem, but they can walk in freedom to who God says that they are. And it's so important that we get this message out around the world. It's great to live a life out in front of people. We should live a life out in front of people. But ultimately what we're trying to do is help people understand that they are in desperate need of the same thing that we're in desperate need for. And it's a savior for my soul because nothing else works. Codependency doesn't work. Dependency on another person doesn't work. Dependency on myself can't save my soul. I can't jump high enough. I can't give enough. I can't share enough. I can't do enough right, and I can't do enough wrong. In other words, I don't have the authority to forgive myself of the sin of the world. But Jesus does. And he declared it because death itself, cruel Roman death on a cross, couldn't hold him in the grave. Do you really believe that Jesus, the Son of the living God, born of a virgin, came to this earth to save your soul from the sin that entered this world? And if you put your faith, your personal faith, in who he is, what he can begin to do is speak into your life. Because whenever you give him authority over your life, you begin to listen to what he has to say by the power of the Spirit that lives in you. And my friends, it's not about me dominating him. It's about he dominated sin, and no longer do I see myself as authority. I see him as the authority, and I walk differently. Notice this man got up and he walked differently. Because when Jesus literally told him, he says, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk, what he was declaring is this man, through the action of how he is responding to what I just told him, you know what? He is declaring that I am the authority over the sin in his life. He's walking in a new direction. Jesus gives this man a new direction to walk in. When he says, go home, he's literally saying, step through this crowd of people that think a system is what saves your soul. Step through them, stun them by listening to my voice and what I said and what you believe by faith in your heart. Get up and declare who I am. In other words, be a display for me. See, that's what happens when you give Jesus the authority over your life. He becomes the captain. He becomes the king. He becomes the master. He becomes the Lord. In other words, he comes in, he forgives us of our sin so that we can give him authority over our life, and then we begin to follow his lead and direction he's taken us in instead of, you know what, just what we think or what we feel or what we experience. No, we declare him as Lord, and ultimately that begins to give us victory in life. The Bible makes it clear that we're not just a display to other people, that we're a display in the heavenlies. Now that's something to shift your mind, because Jesus, he declared before he went back to heaven, he says, I've been given authority here on earth and in the heavens after he defeated death and rose from the grave. But here in this passage, while he is here on earth, he declares, I have been given authority here on earth to forgive sin. And so what Jesus is declaring after death is, you know what, I just didn't only show humanity that I'm God in the flesh and how awesome I am and what I can do. Well, when I defeated death and rose from the grave, I became a display to all the heavenlies and all the rulers in the unseen world. And the Bible says that you and I, once we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus, we don't only become a display to our neighbor or to our friends, we become a display to the heavenlies and all the unseen rulers in the universe. And this becomes a difficult thing to walk in sometimes, because it's a scary place to walk. But I want to show you what it means to walk by the Spirit. Galatians lays it out clear. Galatians 5:16 says it this way. The writer says here, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So all of us have fleshly desires, every single one of us. Your flesh, your humanity desires things to head in the wrong direction. And if you don't want to gratify those fleshly desires, it says the alternate to that is to walk by the power of the Spirit. The spirit of the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave, the Bible says, lives in you. And the alternate says, if we walk by the spirit, then we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And you say, well, what does it look like? The writer goes on and says it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. He says, there's sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The question for all of us is Jesus the authority of our life? Has he forgiven us of our sin? And if he has forgiven us of our sin, what spirit are we walking by? Are we deciding to gratify the sins or the flesh by participating in these overarching things? And does that describe our heart? Because I can tell you right now, all of those things I just mentioned, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, is what puts people on the mat. It's what paralyzes people. This man's story is about being physically paralyzed, but it keeps us from stepping into the fullness of who God says we are. God loves people, and God cares about the soul of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. He cares about you personally. He cares about me personally. But church, we can't fix all the problems in the world. All we can do is present who the Savior of the world really is and do our best to talk about him, to live it out in the world, to help people get to his feet. But if people are going to walk in victory, the ultimate one that gives them victory is the one who declared that he has authority to forgive sin here on earth. His name is Jesus. And the question is, have you responded to who Jesus is? The Bible goes on to say this in Ephesians 3. It says in Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11, referring to how God brings non-Jewish people and Jewish people together as a family. It says God's purpose in all this was to use the church, people brought together from different backgrounds, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, and he carried it out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So in other words, what Christ Jesus did here on earth in the physical was ultimately to draw people together so that people would make Jesus the authority over our life. So together, we would be a display to God's amazing power in the heavenly realm. So what this makes me do is think about my own life. Am I living in the fullness of who God says I am in spite of the circumstances? In other words, do I still trust Jesus as authority over my life, even when it doesn't physically look like it sometimes? Do I really believe that he is authority, is what ultimately puts me in a relationship with God and declares who he is to the powers and principalities of the universe? Because the reality of it is, Jesus isn't the only spirit in the heavenlies. God isn't the only spirit in the heavenlies. There's multiple spirits in the heavenlies. But Jesus came and declared that I am the authority, I am the Son of the living God over human and the spiritual realm, and I'm inviting people to put their trust in me and declare that to the powers and principalities in the universe. Are you living in victory? Are you trusting Jesus to be who he says he is? Because this story teaches us that we can get off our mat and we can walk and we can declare who God is to the world. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. And Jesus, I thank you for this story. I thank you for your authority. I thank you for helping us walk in the fullness of who you say we are. God, I thank you for manifesting your power in the physical as you did miracles. And those miracles became a platform for the message of who you really are. And God, if there hasn't been one here today to step by faith and put their personal faith in who you are and make you the authority over their life so that their sin could be forgiven and they can get up and walk towards their new destiny, God, today would be the day I pray that they put their faith in Jesus. My friend, if you're sitting there today and that's the step you need to take, just simply say, God, today I submit and I make you the authority of my life. And I need you to come in and I need you to save me from my sin. Tell God, thank you for his spirit, and you want to walk by that all the days of your life. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen.